ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नस्त्रकायशोभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Verse 10. Lord Vishnu's appearance in the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Prithu. Parityakta dunha samya.
Parityakta dunha samya.
Parityakta dunha samya.
Parityakta dunha samya.
There is peace and one is situated equally with me as Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Please repeat. When the heart is cleansed,
of all material contamination,
the devotee's mind,
becomes broader and transparent.
He can see things equally.
At that stage of life,
there is peace.
And one is situated equally
with me
as Sachit Ananda Vigraha.
Purport by G. Sivananda Rishi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Maya conception of Kaivalya and that of the Vaishnava community is different. The Maya is thing that as soon as one is free from all material contamination, he is merged into the existence of the Supreme. The Vaishnava philosopher's conception of Kaivalya is different. He understands both his position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the uncontaminated condition, the living entity understands that he is the eternal servitor of the Supreme, and that is called Brahman realization, the spiritual perfection of the living entity. This rapport is very easily achieved. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he is immediately situated on the transcendental platform of Kaivalya of Brahman.
श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकरामयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीधापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सदागुणातं वितन्तं सजीवं सार्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णा चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णापदं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीन बंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी ऋषिवामसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यो कृपा सिंधुभ्यो पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर सुवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण. When the heart is cleansed of all material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent, and he can see things equally. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, anyone knows from the kids? When can a devotee see things equally? Yeah, kids. Verse from Bhagavad Gita. Pandita Samadarshana. What is the starting of that? Vidya Vinaya Sampanna Brahmane Gavihasti Sunichena Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. So, what does this verse say? A person who is knowledgeable. So, the importance of knowledge is given here. So, what kind of knowledge? We'll go into a bit detail, like different kinds of knowledge and how the knowledge which is mentioned here. Now, when we say Kaivalyam, here Prabhupada is mentioning, emphasizing on this word Kaivalyam. What is Kaivalyam? So, there is two perceptions of Kaivalyam. One Kaivalyam is when a Jnani attains this knowledge, which leads him to this Kaivalyam, one kind of Kaivalyam. And when a devotee, how the knowledge of a devotee, the conception of Kaivalyam for a devotee is different to the knowledge of or conception of Kaivalyam for a Mayavadi or a Jnani. We will try to understand this in detail. But we will finish this translation. When heart is cleansed of all material contamination, the devotee's mind becomes broader and transparent, and he can see things equally. At that stage of life, there is peace, and one is situated equally with me as Sachidananda Vigraha. So the knowledge which leads to peace is the real Kaivalyam. Just understand this, because just from the translation we can understand this. So, just to understand knowledge, how many of you know the body is different to spirit? Body and soul are different. Some of you, Mataji, not sure. I'll tell a story, right? Because everybody is a bit still in the mood of Mangala. So, once there was a Mayavadi sannyasi who was traveling, and he comes to the village, and he's at the outskirts of a village, and he's doing his tapasya. And as soon as the villagers are simple people. So as soon as they come to know like this sannyasi has come, so one thing everyone wants to do is hear from the sannyasi, right? Take his blessings, visit him. And so they go to the sannyasi and tell the sannyasi, why don't you, we will arrange a katha for you and why don't you speak to all the villagers. And this Mayavadi sannyasi was not interested in all these things, because there are two kinds of sannyasis. One are Bhajanandi and others are Goshtiyanandi. Bhajanandi are the ones who are just interested in their own bhajan. They are not interested in preaching. And Goshtiyanandi are the devotees who are interested in preaching, want to preach the message of Lord. So this sannyasi was more interested in his own bhajan. So he was not interested in going and giving katha and talking to people and materialistic people. And so he was thinking, he just denied. But the villagers insisted, no, please come. So finally agreed. So a big pandal was organized. The whole village came to hear the katha. And this sannyasi comes, sits on the vyasasam, and he asks a question. How many of you know about God? As we asked before this class, how many of you know about soul and body are different? So this sannyasi asks, how many of you know about God? Everyone raised their hand. Everyone knows about God. So this sannyasi just spoke, if since you all know about God, there is nothing more to speak for me. So he stood up and just walked away. So all these people are just sitting, this big pandal is organized and he just walks away. So all the people are perplexed, what to do. So again this few people go to the sannyasi and say, we will organize another program for you, please come and give a class. And this time they all agreed, like nobody should raise a hand. Because if you raise a hand, sannyasi will go away. So again this pandal was organized, sannyasi agreed, okay. So he comes, sits on the vyasasana and he asks this question, how many of you know about God? And this time nobody raised the hand. And he said, since nobody is interested in the topic of God, there is nothing more to speak for me. So he gets up and walks away. Again everyone is like, what is happening here? The sannyasi, how to get him to speak? So now again third time they all go, ask the sannyasi to come and give a class. And this time they all agreed, half of you should raise the hand, half of you should not raise the hand. That way at least he will speak something then. And so he again comes, again the same pandal is organized, he comes there. He asks a question, how many of you know about God? Half of the people raised their hand and half of them did not raise their hand. So he said, since half of you know about God, tell the other half and there is nothing for me to speak. So he just got up and walks out. So we see in this Kali Yuga, there are many of the so-called sannyasis or people who use this word jugglery or knowledge and twist it to solve their problem. So this is one of the just jokes which shows like how one can turn and twist the same situation to their own benefit. So again I'll ask this question, how many of you know that you are not the body, you are spirit soul? I won't walk away, don't worry. So we all know, right? We are not the body, we are spirit soul. Anyone who does not know that he is not the body, he is the body, he is not the spirit soul. Right? No one, everyone knows, right? Even small kids like 5-6 year old kids know that they are not the body, they are spirit soul. How many of us eat to just support the body, keep the body and soul together? Right? How many of us just eat so that only the body and soul remain together? Some of us, not all of us. Right? What does this signify? Sanatana Goswami used to eat how much? Does anyone know? How much was Sanatana Goswami eating? Sorry? Some buttermilk. And that too, how many times?
One spoon of buttermilk each day.
One spoon of buttermilk each day. Just to keep the body and soul together. Anyone here who eats that much? Prabhu here. He eats only one spoon of buttermilk each day. Just to keep. But he's engaged in Harinam. That's why his name is Harinam. So, but yeah. So, we don't eat to keep, just to keep our body and soul together. We eat more than that. So what does this mean? Even though we know that we are not body, we are spirit, soul, but we still eat more than what the body needs. So this signifies knowledge, simply knowledge, simple knowledge itself is not sufficient. Just by having knowledge does not mean like we are one with the Lord or we are capable, we are attained capable. So there is something more than just knowledge. So here, it's interesting, we had a course recently, teacher's training course. And in that there were three kinds of learning explained, three methods of learning. The first method of learning was knowledge transmission, where one gets knowledge just by hearing, or one gets knowledge by studying of Shastra Upanishads. So that is knowledge transmission. Knowledge gets transferred from one person is speaking, or he is reading or something. So it's one way knowledge. So that's knowledge transmission. So second way of acquiring knowledge is interactive learning, where there is question and answer. So that is interactive learning. Like we see Bhagavatam is the narration between devotees. They are asking, there is a question asked and there are answers. So it's interactive learning. Questions are asked, answered. So depending on the question, answers are given. So that's interactive learning. And the third way of knowledge is experiential learning, where there is a different way of teaching, where different paraphernalia, different activities are there, where, which impart knowledge, like dramas are there, then activities are there, then some practical works are there involved. So that is the third way of knowledge. And it is mentioned there are three kinds of three aspects which are developed when you get knowledge. One is knowledge is developed. Knowledge itself is, one becomes a gnani. The second is one's skills are developed. And the third is one's values are developed. So one kind of knowledge gives you more, makes you more knowledgeable. The second kind makes you more skilled. And the third kind develops values. And the experiential learning, the experiential learning where there are skills involved, develops the values of a person or the skills of a person. And that kind of knowledge is realized knowledge, where one does not forget. For a simple example, like suppose if you read a story, you will understand to one level. But you, if you look at a drama of the same story enacted on the stage, you will remember it for a longer time. And if you participate in that same drama, you will remember it for life. Because you know that you have, suppose if you become a Hanuman or a Ram or some personality in a drama, then you remember that character for life. So this is the importance of three kinds of knowledge. One knowledge is just by reading or by hearing you get that knowledge. It's knowledge transmission one way. The second kind of knowledge is interactive knowledge, where you see something happen and visually and hearing, and you are also audio, you are hearing, so it gives you more knowledge. And the third is experiential. You are experiencing it. So that's the topmost knowledge. And we see most of the gnanis or people who are Mayavadis, they are just studying. Their main focus is on study of the Shastras, study of the Upanishads. So they do a lot of analytical studies, Sankhya philosophy. They go into deeper and deeper just by study. And that is why their knowledge is not complete. Whereas the devotees, their method of acquiring knowledge is experiential. How is it experiential? Just based on the three categories of knowledge I explained, how is devotees acquiring knowledge of the Lord is experiential, different to the Mayavadis or the Jnani's knowledge acquiring method. Anyone? Devotees practice. In what way?
They believe in action, rather than Mayavadis believe in action.
Right. Right. So what are the activities we do?
All the activities like preaching the Dharma, chanting.
Right. Right. Since morning, like since Mangalarti, we chant, we dance, we eat prasadam, we hear, So there is activity, there is deity worship, so there is physical activity which is involved, and the experiential learning which devotee experiences, it's, if you take a, for example, gulab jamun or rasgulla, and you try to explain how gulab jamun or rasgulla tastes to a person who has never seen it before, it will be very difficult to explain what it tastes like or what it is like. You can say it's a round sweet ball, soft, but it's very difficult to explain. But you just give him one. That was Prabhupada's ISKCON bullet, right? So you just give one gulab jamun and you don't have to explain anything to him. Automatically he gets all realization what a gulab jamun is. He will ask for it again, right? He doesn't. You don't have to have the theory behind it. So that is experiential knowledge. And devotees, as devotees, we practice this. We don't go through. Our method is not of studying the sastras. It is there, it is one of the important aspects, but it's not the only aspect of it. We read and we practice that. And that practice gives us realization of what is mentioned in the sastras. There is a verse in Bhagavatam which says, Ye anye arindaksha vimukta maninas, tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhaya. Ahavya kuchrena parampadam tatha patanti ado anadre. Yashma Angraya. So there are, and in that verse, these are the starting in the 10th canto, Lord Brahma is offering prayers. And in that, this is one of the prayers which comes, where it is mentioned that two kinds of, Prabhupada explains in that purport, there are two kinds of devotees. One, who are practicing devotees, who are the real devotees, but the other devotees think they are devotees, but really they are not devotees. Because when you get knowledge, one of the aspects of knowledge is it makes you feel pride. Pride comes into your heart. And one thinks he is elevated, he is at the same platform of God, but really he is not at that platform. And patanti ado anadre. So he falls down from that position. So this is the position of a mayavadi. So we see in this, just going through this pastime, so we come to this point. This pastime begins with King Vena, actually. Before that, but King Vena, where King Vena was a very cruel king, and he wanted to stop all the sacrifices, he wanted to stop the worship of the Lord. And at that point, the Brahmanas go and try to convince King Vena to let the sacrifice go on, because, and they try to tell him how important the sacrifice to the demigods, to God is. But King Vena just neglects them, and he mentions, you are like inexperienced small children. You don't know, you are foolish. And as the unchaste wife who for a paramour neglects her husband who maintains her, you all are neglecting me. I am the supreme. You all should just worship me. What is the need of worshipping all the demigods? So this was the condition of King Vena when he got into power. And this Brahmanas, we see that it, twice this happens. This Brahmanas chant the mantra and they perform a sacrifice and then they just kill King Vena. And the second time, recently we saw when Maharaj Prithu was performing sacrifice, this Brahmanas again chant mantra to call him Indra. They wanted to kill Indra. So this is again, it shows how important the Brahmanas are, how qualified the Brahmanas were in those days. So they did this, and the important thing is how King Vena was killed, and then from the body of King Vena, from the thighs, they churned, the Brahmanas churned, and they Bahu something, Bahuka, the demon Bahuka was, demon Bahuka appeared, who was, so again the qualifications of this Brahmanas who had this knowledge, they churned the thighs of King Vena, and this sin personified of King Vena, Bahuka was born, and then they churned the arms, and Maharaj Prithu and Archi, his wife, were born, and then There is a whole pastime where how Maharaj Prithu, since Mother Earth was not producing enough food grains, so chastised Mother Earth and he actually took up his bow and arrow and tried to kill Mother Earth. So this is the power of the saintly kings also. So again Mother, and we know the pastime as Mother Earth then begged forgiveness and asked Maharaj Prithu, like, get a calf who can milk me and get a pot and you can extract milk from me. So again, the whole pastime happened. So we understand Maharaj Prithu then performed 100 Ashwamedha Yagnas. He couldn't complete 100. But after 99, Indra, who was fearful of his position, because Indra was the only one who had performed 100 Ashwamedha Yagnas. So this time Indra is fearful and he wants to stop this sacrifice in between. So he steals the horse and he steals multiple times by taking different. He disguises himself as different sannyasis. So again, we see this all sannyas lines, the false sannyas lines which are coming from Indra. Again, that is explained in that pastime where. One thing we have to understand, why was Indra performing such a kind of act? Indra is a king of heaven, but still he is performing such a heinous act of stealing and disguising himself as a sannyasi. So, it is mentioned in Shastras that one who is powerful is always fearful. There are different kinds of fears explained. There is another interesting story of this king, Bhartahari. This Bhartahari king was a very powerful king and he was a poet as well. And he was very much attached to his wife, queen. And in that attachment, he wrote hundreds of poetries, Satakam, Saundarya Satakam. So he wrote 100 poetries in glorification of, Shringarashtakam. So he wrote about 100 verses just glorifying his wife. So this king was very much attached, and one day a prostitute comes and gives him a ring and tells, this ring is for the person whom you love the most. And this king took this ring, and because he loved his wife the most, he gave this ring to his wife. And then his wife was attached to the general of this kingdom. So she gave this ring to the general, and that general was attached to some other girl. So he gave that ring to that girl, and that girl was attached to the king. So that girl came and gave that ring back to the king. And when this Bhartahari king saw this ring, he understood the whole story. And that made him so detached. He became so detached, and the vairagya developed in his vairagya, means detachment, developed in his heart, and he wrote another 100 verses called Vairagya Satakam. So this was the condition, like even in that sad mood, he could write hundreds of verses on vairagya. And in that one of the verses, Vairagya Satakam, he is mentioning how, I'll read that verse, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. He writes about fear. He writes how everyone in this material world is fearful about something or the other. He said, Bhoge Roga Bhayam. One who is healthy is always afraid of becoming sick. Kule Chuta Bhayam. One who is from the reputed family, who has got a family reputation, is always afraid of spoiling that reputation. Kule Chuta Bhayam. Vitin Ripla Bhayam. A person who is with a means wealthy, is always afraid of losing his wealth. Mane Dainya Bhayam. One who has got a lot of fame, respect, is always afraid of losing that respect. Bale Ripu Bhayam. One who is very strong is afraid of losing his strength. Rupe Jaraya Bhayam. One who is very beautiful is afraid of losing his beauty. And that's why the cosmetic industry today is running so well. Shastre Vadi Bhaya. Shastra Vadibhan, one who is very educated, is always afraid of becoming defeated by someone else in education. Gune Khale Bhayam, and one who has got a lot of good qualities, is always afraid of being cheated. Kaye Pritana Bhayam, and one who has got his body is afraid of death. Sarvam Vastu Bhayavitam Bhuvani Nirnam Vairagya Eva Bhayam. So everyone in this material world is afraid of something or the other. But the only cure to this fearfulness is to become detached. One who is completely detached, he is not afraid of anything. So in this pastime we see Indra was, he had everything actually to his disposal, like he is the king of heaven, right? When you are a king of heaven, you have got life, you have got wealth, you have got senses to enjoy, you have got everything, fame, right? But still he was afraid of Maharaj Prithu. So this is the quality of material world, that everyone is afraid of something or the other. So we understand how to get out of this material, and in the end Prabhupada mentions in the purport what is true Kaivalyam. So when one is engaging the transcendental loving service of the Lord, he is immediately situated on the transcendental platform of Kaivalya or Brahman. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting Bhagavad Gita's verse here. Mamcha Vyavacharena Brahma Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagman Samatityayitan Brahma Bhuya Kalpate. So one who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends modes of material nature and comes to this level of Brahman. As we every morning before Bhagavatam class, we will recite this verse. Nasta Praishva Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavat Seva. Bhagavata Uttam Sloka Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. What does this mean? Like one who, by regular attendance in the class, in Srimad Bhagavatam class, and by serving the Bhagavatam or the devotees, one automatically gets a loving, one, everything that is troublesome to the heart is destroyed, and loving devotional service is established within the heart as a Hiraya Bhagavad fact. And what is the verse after that? Tadrajas Tamabhava Kamabhavasya Chetaitaranavidam Sitam Sabhya Prasidati. And when such a loving service is established within the heart, the effects of nature's mode of passion and ignorance, lust and anger, are completely destroyed. They disappear. And one is established in the mode of goodness. So, this is the process that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita, how one can transcend the modes of material nature. So, until one transcends his mode of material nature, one cannot come to this point of Dhamma Bhuya Kalpate. One cannot come to this point of Kaivalyam. And what is real, actually it's interesting, if somebody is interested in doing more study on this word Kaivalyam, Jiva Goswami mentions in his Tattva Sandarbha, in Sattva Sandarbha especially, he gives more elaborate description of a Jiva as well as this word Kaivalyam. And he tells, initially when Lord had a desire to reciprocate with his devotees, immediately in reciprocation to these devotees, all the Jivas were created. Again, try to understand that, like, there is never a point when Jivas are created, but at the same time, this is the point where we all are here just to reciprocate with the desire of the Lord. And that is real Kaivalyam. And when that happens, because we are entangled into these modes of material nature, we cannot understand our real Swarupa or our real identity. As we cannot understand, theoretically we know we are not this body, we are spirit soul. But to understand this, to realize this point, that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, we have to come to this platform where we transcend the modes of material nature. and then we'll be able to understand. And so real meaning of Kaivalam in that Tattva Sandarbha, it is mentioned, Guru Goswami explains it, to come to this point where we can establish our real Swarupa. Acharyas give this point, one never loses his identity. So it's like when there is a tree, green tree is there, and the parrot who is green parrot is sitting in the tree, right? He's green in color. He merges into the tree. But it doesn't mean that he has lost his identity. The other example is given, there is a vast ocean, right? In the ocean, it might look vast mass of water, but there are a lot of living entities within this water which can not be visible from outside. But that doesn't mean, since they have gone into the ocean, they have lost their identity. No, they are still individually existing, and they still have that individuality is there. So these two examples show that Kaivalyam does not mean that one merges into the Supreme Brahman and loses his identity. It only means that he has attained his spiritual identity, which is similar in nature, which is similar in consciousness to the entire cosmic identity of Brahman. But it's still individual. So, just to understand this point, so one never loses his spiritual identity because one has got a relationship with the Supreme, and that relationship cannot be lost at any stage. And that is real Kaivalyam, when you understand your spiritual relationship with the Supreme and your spiritual identity. So I would like to stop here if anybody has got any questions or comments. Yes, sir.
We said that one who is detached does not have any fear, but he could have a fear of getting reattached again, like Maharaj Bharat got reattached.
Yes, so there are two parts to this. One is detachment, second is attachment. One cannot become detached unless he is attached to something. So when we say one is detached, again we are not kind of a Mayavadi conception where one is detached to everything, naiti, right? It's not everything, not this, not that, not that. One cannot become, as long as one is in this material body, one cannot become completely detached. He has to become attached to something. And when one is attached to the Lord, then automatically, so detachment and attachment, self-realization and God-realization happen simultaneously. It's not either or. If one is God-realized, he is self-realized. If one is self-realized, he is God-realized. So attachment and detachment has to happen simultaneously. So even in the case of Maharaj Bharat, you mentioned how he became attached. He was not afraid of becoming attached because he was completely attached to the Supreme Lord. And because of that, he gave up his whole kingdom. He had so many wives, so many children, right? Hundred children. He gave up the whole kingdom. He was the ruler of the whole world. But he was so detached that he gave up everything. So he was not afraid of becoming attached. But since this pastime shows how one can become, if one one does not have association, and there are some past karmas which can affect even at the platform of bhava. But again we see there is always a protection. One who is attached to the Lord, Lord promises that he will always protect him. We see Lord protected Maharaj Bharat. Not only in that birth, but again in the next birth, when he was a deer, Lord gave him the previous life's remembrance. And how many humans get that previous life remembrance? Not anyone, right? So even as a deer, he got that. Even as an insignificant animal, he got the remembrance of his previous life. And then again when he was born as Jadabharat, right? So Lord protected him throughout his journey until he went back to God. So what we see on the bodily platform is just a temporary manifestation, but really what is going on inside is completely different. So, but attachment and detachment happen simultaneously. It's not like one becomes detached and that's it. There has to be attachment somewhere. As our Harinam Ananda Prabhu said, he is like detached to eating prasadam. But he is attached to something else.
Right? He is attached to
Vrindavan. That's right. So there has to be Ananda coming from somewhere. Right? So that's the real goal of getting Ananda from Harina. So yeah, that is the goal that we have to. Our goal is not to become detached. Our goal is to become attached to Harinam. So that is our goal. Detachment will come automatically.
So in this chapter, in many examples, we see that devotees who are saying, who are up to 99, who are to 100 and please Vishnu. So Nandi and Vishnu, okay. Like Vishnu, they also technically carry instruction, but Krishna was only asking. So in that, are you praying? Now, most of the time. We see that in all these cases, then the failure also Krishna becomes very happy. So, how do we
right. So, the question is, a devotee fails but still it pleases the Lord, whereas in the material world people talk about success, but are they successful? Interesting point is, it's the motive which counts. It's the consciousness which counts. In Bhagavad Gita, the 13th chapter, nature, consciousness and material world. So in that we understand Arjuna has 6 questions. Prakriti, Purusha, knowledge, jnana, jnaya and darshan. Purusha, Prakriti, object of knowledge, jnana, jnaya and Kshetra and Kshetrajna. So he asks all these 6 questions. So in that, if you study that section, it is explained who is Jnaya, object of knowledge. Sir, to satisfy the Supreme Lord is the activity of a, by knowledge, what do you want to do? So the consciousness has to be purified. If your consciousness or the motive is right, then automatically the Lord will be pleased. If your motive is not right, then whatever you do, it depends what we are trying to, whom we are trying to satisfy. If you are trying to satisfy the body, it's only going to get us into miserable situation. The body cannot reciprocate with us. The body cannot give us pleasure. So anything that we are doing on the bodily platform is going to fetch us misery. But anything you try to do to satisfy the Lord, even if it is insignificant, and we know from the example of Lord Ram, when he mentioned that Hanuman was throwing boulders of stone, whereas a squirrel was throwing some grains. And when Hanuman asked the squirrel to move out of the way, Lord Ram said, "No, you are doing your service according to your capability, and the service that squirrel is rendering is as per her capacity, and both are equal for me." So it's not the quantity which matters in devotional service, it's the quality or it's the consciousness which matters. And there are many pastimes which we know, like there was a Brahmana who was offering sweet rice to the Lord in his mind. There was no sweet rice, there was no paraphernalia, but this Brahmana was so poor, he couldn't afford that. So he was just offering in the mind. And when he touched, in the mind, he touched the sweet rice to check whether it was too hot or not. He burnt his finger. So what does that signify? It's not the paraphernalia there. Because here we see Indra had performed 100 sacrifices, Ashwamedha Yajnas already. Ashwamedha Yajnas are supposed to, the purpose of performing Ashwamedha Yajna is to satisfy the Lord. And Indra had already done that. But Lord was more pleased with 99 of Maharaj Pritu's yearnings than 100 sacrifices of Indra. Because the motive here was not anything material. He only wanted to please the Lord. So the motive is the most important thing in spiritual life. And we can go on, like there are many, many examples on this. The consciousness is more important than the activity itself. Of course, the activity is also important. But one's consciousness has to be right. It's not like we just offer everything in the mind only. Even if we have got the ability to offer practically, then we say, "Oh no, we can do it." No, the consciousness is important, so we just offer in the mind. So that becomes cheating. So, but the point is consciousness is important. So, any other questions or comments?
Just following you up is that the Lord is pleased. He still is coming and instructing Guru Maharaj on all these qualities of how one has to be equal, one's mind has to be cleansed. So, is it that Guru Maharaj had these qualities and the Lord just reiterated them, or he is instructing Guru Maharaj to say,
yes, we have to understand again who Prithu Maharaj is. Prithu Maharaj is the incarnation, partial representation of the Lord Himself. So it's not that he needed to know that knowledge. Also, we see from Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna did not, he was a pure devotee of the Lord. He did not have to hear Bhagavad Gita. But why was Bhagavad Gita spoken? For our benefit. And we see when Lord Vishnu spoke this to Prithu Maharaj, Lord Vishnu had come with whom? Indra. So, all this knowledge was more to illustrate, to give knowledge to Indra and the rest of the people who were there. Prithu Maharaj was already a pure devotee of the Lord. He was a partial, not a devotee, he is a partial representation of the Lord. But of course, whenever there is katha going on, wherever there is Bhagavad katha going on, even if you have heard that same katha again many, many times, but still it is relevant. That's the nature of Bhagavad katha. So, the instructions by the Lord, by His own mouth, is obviously much, much higher. So, everyone relishes it. So, Krishna, Vishnu usually come and give instructions for the pleasure, because it's pleasing to the devotees to hear from them. But yeah, it is more for Indra as well as all the other people who are assembled there. Yes.
Do we know the name of the king who wrote
Vairagya Shikha?
Bharata Hari.
Yes, ma'am.
Just one thing, the literal translation of the word Kaivalya.
From the verse, it says one who gets free from the modes of material nature. So, which is when one loses his identity, bodily platform. I'll just say it again. Kaivalyam, freedom from the material contamination.
Very similar to liberation.
So, yeah, Kaivalyam means liberation. Where you are free from the material contamination means you are transcend the modes of material nature. But again, that doesn't mean you have lost your identity. Whereas the Mayavadis translate this word as losing one's identity and merging into the Supreme. But it is not losing your identity, you still have your own identity. Okay, we'll stop here then. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.